Mark Collier for Thomas Matters Radio. Sponsor today, Omega Processing Solutions. Today we're going to talk with Corbin Bloomberg. Corbin's going to take us through the Kentucky Derby, how to derby like a local, and how, most importantly, to make some money when you're betting the Derby on Saturday. He's a 21-year-old horse racing, equine science and management major. His passion in life is horse racing, and he is going to be a trainer one day. So he's going to give us some analysis regarding the Derby on Saturday, and we're looking forward to that. But first, quick message from Omega Processing Solutions, sponsor on the podcast. Going to read something, a testimonial you can find on omegap.com. So Debbie Harrison, she's from Giant Industries in Toledo, Ohio. She said the software that Omega recommended is easy to use. The funds are deposited quickly. The fees are a lot less than they were paying with the previous processor. Thank you, Omega. Tim Eversall, BB Riverboats. Omega is a great partner. They delivered the right combination of wired and wireless solutions to improve speed and service and help us reduce our total cost of doing business. Which, let's be honest, that's why we do what we do. So if you're a small business owner, you're not talking to Omega Processing Solutions, you're doing it wrong. 866-888-9724, 866-888-9724. You can find them at omegap.com. Let's go. So today on the show, we have Corbin Bloomberg on For Thomas Matters Radio. Corbin is a 21-year-old student at the University of Kentucky studying equine science and management. His passion in life is horse racing. He's going to be a trainer one day. You can find his expert analysis, CBH Racing, that's Corbin Bloomberg Horse Racing, at blogspot.com. Corbin, how are you, man?
I'm great. Really, really excited for the weekend. How are you?
I'm real good, man. This is going to be a good one for you, right?
Yeah, it's one of the best weekends of the year.
So we're going to have perfect weather, 72 degrees. Let's real quick, the Derby schedule for people that aren't real in tune with the Derby or horse racing. 5:05, Lady Annabella sings national anthem. 5:25, we're talking about Saturday now. Riders are called to mount their horses. 5:27, singing of my old Kentucky home. 6:34 p.m. is the 142nd running of the Kentucky Derby. But Corbin, you've been on, I mean, this is your passion, right? You've been on this for a while now. So it's not just about the 2 minutes at starting at 6:34 for you.
No, it's the entire weekend, and the Derby prep for me started about September of last year. We started tracking these horses all the way up to Saturday. So it's a great day of racing on both days aside from the Oaks and the Derby, and I really just can't wait.
So you've got a post right here. It's the 142nd Kentucky Derby in-depth horse-by-horse analysis and selections. And again, that's cbhracing.blogspot.com. So you kind of go through here, and like you mentioned, you're not just a fly-by-night guy. You know these horses pretty in-depth at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I followed all the prep races and have studied the form for a few weeks now on the specific horses in the race, and I've made some selections, and I definitely have some thoughts on it.
How many times have you been to Keeneland this meet?
I only missed 3 days of the meet, so I had my entire schedule of classes set around so that I could go to as many days of racing as possible.
Is that right? So
yes, sir.
What are you, a junior or a senior now?
I'm a junior studying equine science and management, so I have one more year.
So what's your schedule like? What's your coursework like right now? You're taking off probably Thursday and Friday, definitely.
Yeah, I'm taking, I took an equine class specifically on health and disease. I've taken equine anatomy and then a thoroughbred investments class. So definitely taking some specific equine horse-related classes, which is unique to Kentucky.
Yeah, so how many, there's 20 horses in the field, is that right?
Yeah, it's the 20 horses. It's the biggest field size of any race in the United States.
So of the 20 horses, how many had you seen either run at Keeneland or I don't know if you've gone to any other tracks and seen them live. How many of these horses have you actually seen run?
In person, I've seen, I would say about half the field run.
Yeah.
I was at the Breeders' Cup last year at Keeneland, where there was a few run, where a few of them ran. And there was also a few that ran at Keeneland last year, not in the Breeders' Cup. So I would say about half the field.
The kind of the hashtag right now on Twitter is, and I guess this is mainly for people that live in Louisville. Where are you from, by the way, Corbin?
I grew up just outside of Washington, D.C. In Maryland. And I came to Kentucky for the horses.
I gotcha. So the Twitter hashtag right now is Derby Like a Local. You ever been to the Derby before?
Yes, I've been twice. I went in 2011 when Animal Kingdom won, and I spend my summers with the trainer Graham Motion, who trained Animal Kingdom,
wow,
working for him. So that was a thrill. And then I went 2 years ago when California Chrome won, which was a great race.
So you're not hitting in. You're not doing the infield like the locals do, right?
No, I've never done it. And we have a pretty good infield up in Baltimore for the Preakness, too. And I've never done that either. I'm sure it would be fun, but my horse racing interest sort of keeps me from the infield.
You're not doing the porta potty races when you're trying to skip across the top. That's not you.
No, that might have inhibited my view of American Pharoah last year. So I try to keep in the grandstand if I can.
I gotcha. So we're gonna get to some of your expert picks. We're gonna try to get through as many of the different races as possible. Look at the races or the horses that you like. But first, like what I'd like you to do is kind of explain, like an insider's view of how to make a bet correctly. Like, I'm not talking verbiage, but like kind of what I'm talking about here is, you know, you don't have to wait until the Derby's getting ready to post before you get in line. So when you get there, Corbin, what time will you get there on Saturday?
The first post for Saturday morning is 10:30, which is fairly early, but because of the Derby and such a long day, it's early. So I'll get there at 10:30, and then I'll bounce the first race, and I'll just sort of settle in. And from there, by the time I get there, I'll have a pretty good idea of exactly what I'm going to bet for the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll sort of modify as the day goes on, depending on if conditions change or anything were to change with the track that was noticeable.
Right.
So
you've got your picks on, again, cbhracing.blogspot.com. Let's go over, I guess, just an overview of this field first. We had our first Triple Crown winner last year, American Pharoah, which, you know, some people are kind of saying that it's hurting the, I guess, the overall feel of the Derby. I guess people aren't really as excited nationally anymore. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
I definitely think there is a bit of an American Pharoah lull, if you'd like to call it.
Yeah.
You know, for me personally, you know, I'm 21 now. I'd never seen a Triple Crown winner, so even for me, for someone who gets so excited about these things, it's definitely a little different.
Yeah.
There's not the 34-year wait anymore, but at the same time, it is a great field, and every year there's sort of that new promise feeling about the Derby that is really exciting. And this field is very deep. It's wide open. Last year, American Pharoah was a bit of a standout, and I think this year sort of is an opportunity to make some serious money. which is definitely a positive.
Right. So I guess like the layman, and I'll put myself in that category right now. If I'm starting to, you know, figure out who I'm going to look at now, if I Google something as general as Kentucky Derby, you're going to see the name Nyquist, right? So
yes.
if you Google it right now, here's some of the headlines. The kiss of death for Nyquist owner. Nyquist to start Kentucky Derby from the 13 position. I think most people probably, if they had to make a bet right now, and maybe they do this just because he's the favorite, but the general consensus is that Nyquist is the favorite, so that's the easy bet to make. But the Derby field is incredibly wide open. The favorite Nyquist is making a very unpredictable and exciting renewal of the race. Let's start there. The Derby favorite Nyquist, your thoughts?
The thing with Nyquist is he's a very deserving favorite of the Derby. He's undefeated, which obviously it's not a normal thing for a three-year-old colt or any thoroughbred to be undefeated. And he's 7-for-7, and he's really done nothing wrong in his career. He's really what you'll sort of buzzword with Nyquist is tough. He's never let anyone pass him in a stretch drive. He's in the Breeders' Cup last year. He drew the 13 post in there and got hung out very wide in the Breeders' Cup. So you're going to lose a lot of ground to the horses on the inside, which makes it very difficult for a horse to win. He was hung wide on both turns and still was able to win. This year he began his three-year-old campaign in a sprint race, a 7-furlong race, so just sort of a nice starting point to build on, and he was very good there. And then he went there. Normally what most trainers and owners like to do is a California-based horse, which Nyquist is, they want to do the California-based prep schedule for the Derby. So that would end in the Santa Anita Derby prior to the Derby. But Nyquist was bought at auction at Fasig Tipton, and there was a $1 million bonus if Nyquist ran in the Florida Derby at Gulfstream Park and then went and won the Kentucky Derby. So instead of Nyquist running in California, his connections shipped him all the way across country to Florida, where he met another horse in the Derby named Mohaman, who at the time was actually the Derby favorite. And Nyquist went right to the lead and ended up... Mohaman didn't exactly show up that day, but Nyquist went and took care of business and won by 4.5 lengths. So he comes in undefeated. He trained up to the race at Keeneland. I saw his last workout at Keeneland. I thought it was okay. I didn't love it.
Well, you said it hadn't really. You hadn't been impressed with his preparation. Is that what you're talking about there?
Yeah, he. When he first got to Keeneland, there was a little issue with his blood work. He missed a few days of training. And then I just didn't love the way he got over Keeneland. Now, since my blog has gone up and since he's been at Churchill, there have been more positive reports about his energy level and the way he's got over the Churchill Downs surface. So that's definitely improved. He drew the 13, which is, I think that is now sort of the biggest problem with his race because of how the race will set up for him.
Where does he need, what would be a perfect post position for him?
Well, the way the Derby this year shapes up is there's sort of two, Nyquist likes to go towards the front of the race, towards the lead, and if you want to be on the lead, it's better to sort of be outside of the other pace horses so you can sort of control your own destiny from there and you don't get pressured. And Nyquist drew 13. The other main speed horse in the race, Outwork, drew the 15. And then barring a bad break, number 20, Dancing Candy, will almost surely go to the lead. So Nyquist is sort of in a position where he could end up getting boxed in behind Dancing Candy, but inside of Outwork.
So is that what you're talking about when, and if you look at this post that you're talking about the pace, the projected pace. You kind of outline the top three, which we just talked about, Nyquist, Outwork, and Dancing Candy. You expect them, those three horses, to get out front quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Dancing Candy, the 20, is very fast early. He's pretty headstrong. That's his preferred running style. So it's a tough task for him, though, from that 20 gate. He's going to have to break well and clear the entire 19 horses to his inside to be able to save ground into that first turn. But those three would be the ones that I would expect to be out front early on, barring, obviously, anything can happen in the starting gate, right. But
so you've
those
got,
would be the three.
You've got them kind of ranked in early speed, stalkers, mid-pack, and closers. Of the stalkers, do you like Gunrunner, Destin, Mohamed, More Spirit? Do you like any of those horses?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Gunrunners.
Gunrunner's the number five post.
Yeah, number five Gunrunner. He's 10-1 on the morning line, and he comes from he's trained by Steve Asmussen, and he'll be going to the Hall of Fame this year. And he's a really nice horse. He's coming from the Louisiana prep schedule down at the Fairgrounds racetrack, New Orleans. And he won their two biggest preps down there, the Risen Star Stakes and the Louisiana Derby.
Yeah.
And he should sit a really nice trip from the five, sort of right in behind those first three speed horses, but be able to save ground because he's not too far out.
So is there something special about the Louisiana circuit this year? Because one of my buddies, Wynn Radford, had mentioned that, and I couldn't tell. I don't know what's what in this industry, so I couldn't tell if he was being serious or not. But he said to look out for anybody that's come out in the Louisiana circuit.
Well, it's kind of interesting. So coming into the Derby, there's sort of there's Keeneland Prep, the Bluegrass. There's New York, the Wood Memorial, Arkansas has the Arkansas Derby, Louisiana has the Louisiana Derby, and then California has the San Anita Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Those are sort of the major preps. And there's not been a winner to come out of the Louisiana Derby to win the Kentucky Derby since 1996 in Grindstone. So it's been 20 years now since a horse has run the Louisiana Derby and then come back and win the Kentucky Derby. So historically speaking, the Louisiana Derby is one of the weaker prep races for the Kentucky Derby.
And that's Gunrunner. Who else was in that?
That would be Gunrunner, Mo Tom, and Tom's Ready would be the two. And actually, Mo Tom and Tom's Ready are owned by the owners of the New Orleans Pelicans and Saints.
So that's the four, the 12, and the five horses.
Yep.
So of the mid-pack, you've got those grouped together of My Man Sam, Oscar-nominated, Lanny, Tom's Ready, Shagaff, and Majesto. Do you like any of those horses?
None of those are on the top of my list necessarily. A few of those are pretty big long shots. Number 18, Majesto, he's a horse that I don't like him necessarily, but there's a lot of sort of handicappers that have him on their list. He's not on the top of my list, but he's not a total throwout. He'll be 35-1, 40-1 up there.
So other than obviously your own analysis, what are some of the best handicappers that you rely on in this field?
I follow the Daily Racing Form a ton. The Daily Racing Form is sort of a handicappers and analysis all over the country. So they have a California guy and a New York guy and a Florida guy, and they've all kind of come together for the Derby. So I think when you go to the track on a day, the program will be $3 and the Daily Racing Form will be $7. I'm always a fan of paying the extra $4 because it is just so much more information that what you get in the normal program. And that's sort of what I rely on in terms of my information.
What are some of the things that, like, in the daily racing form, like, for somebody like me, I used to go to Keeneland as a college student. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. So I would buy it, too, to act like I knew what I was doing. And there's so much information in there. It's sort of like drinking out of a fire hose, right? So what are some of the things that when you pick up a daily racing form that you're looking for?
So I would say the main difference between the daily racing form and the program is the daily racing form has these speed figures called Beyer speed figures, which have been developed by Andrew Beyer over time. And they're a fairly reliable number in terms of how fast that horse ran versus another horse in the race, in their last races. And that is exclusive to the daily racing form. And I'm a big fan of the Beyer speed figures. I don't do my handicapping solely based on them. But they're definitely a factor in when I look at the races. And if you get the program, you don't get those. Mm-hmm. So it becomes tougher to sort of compare the horses in the races. And you have to do it just solely on sort of what you think. But sort of the Beyer number is more of a mathematical estimation of how well that horse ran.
It's like Moneyball for horses. Is that right?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So of the closers, you've got those ranked as Trojan Nation, Sudden Breaking News, which as a journalist, I kind of like just the name of that one. Creator, Mo Tom, Exaggerator, Whitmore, and Brody's Cause. Who do you like out of that crew?
I'm a big fan of two of those. Number two, Sudden Breaking News, and number three, Creator. Both of them come out of the Arkansas Derby last time.
Creator at 10-1 and Sudden Breaking News at 20-1.
Yeah. So Creator came out of Creator won the Arkansas Derby last time out. He's also trained by Steve Asmussen, who trains Gunrunner. And he was very impressive. He's a sort of a late developing son of Tappet. Tappet stands right now in Kentucky as a sire for $300,000. So he's sort of the perennial top sire right now. Mm-hmm. And Creator's a son of Tappet. And he's really improving. I love sort of his progression through his races from when he had yet to win a race to what he did last time out in the Arkansas Derby. He came from the back of the pack, closed around the turn, and sort of sustained that closing kick, which you're going to need to do in the Derby because it's such a grueling and demanding race. And he looked really good doing it, and he's really impressed a lot of people since he's been at Churchill Downs in his training. And then the other closer I really like is Sudden Breaking News. He's going to be a longer price, probably 20-25-1 when the race goes off, I would think. He finished second in that Arkansas Derby to Creator. He won the Southwest Stakes in February at Oaklawn Park in Arkansas, which is the same track that the Arkansas Derby is run over. Mm-hmm. And he's a very late running horse, so he probably won't even be in the television screen first time by the stands and down the backstretch. And the only reason I put Creator in front of Sudden Breaking News is that if you watch Sudden Breaking News' races in the past, for whatever reason, he does not run the turns very well. So it takes him a while to get going, and then he sort of explodes down the final stretch. But in his last two races, it hasn't been enough. So I like Sudden Breaking News sort of as a show play to run late to finish third at a big price at 20-25-1. He's been training great at Churchill, so I think I'm not the only one that likes him. He's sort of become a bit of a wise guy horse. You hear that every year. There always is sort of a wise guy horse that people get really keen on right before the race. Mm-hmm. But I still think he'll be in that 20-25-1 range.
So that's kind of your short breakdown of the 20 horses in the field. All in, though, you're putting together a 1, 2, 3, 4 murderer's row. Who are your picks for the 142nd Kentucky Derby?
My number one is number 15, Outwork. And he's 15-1 on the morning line. He's trained by champion trainer Todd Pletcher and ridden by one of the better jockeys in the country, John Velasquez. He's a son of Uncle Mo, who's one of the, this is his first crop of horses running, but he's been incredibly successful. This will only be his fifth career start lifetime, so he's definitely a late developing horse in terms of the Kentucky Derby. But he comes out of a win in the Grade 1 Wood Memorial at Aqueduct, where he, what I love about him is he went to the lead early on. He went fast the whole way around the track. Turning for home, it looked like he was in trouble, and he fought back and won by a nose over a Trojan Nation who's also in the race. And he was really impressive doing so. I love how fast his maturity has gone. And, he's really a very big horse. He's going to be forwardly placed. And I just really love his progression. And I think 15 to 1 is a great price. I think he should sit a great trip. Dancing Candy breaks on top. He can get outworked. He'll be able to sit right on his flank throughout the race. And I just think he turning for home in the Derby, it's, you want to be close. You don't want to be way out the back. American Pharoah is close. California Chrome is close. You want to be close. And I think he's going to be in a great spot. And at 15 to 1, I think he's a great price.
I saw a stat, Corbin, and I don't know if this is right or not. Is it like four of the last 5 years, the Derby winner has been like in the 15 through 20 post? Is that right? Something like that?
Yeah. It's interesting. Because the Derby's on a normal race day, being down the inside close to the rail is great because you get to save all the ground and sort of hug the rail and be in a great spot. But in the Derby, because there's so many horses, traffic trouble is huge. So, yeah, you don't want to get shuffled back. And being down the inside leads, you know, you're among all the other horses. Being on the outside, you might go a little wider. You might run a little further, but you're going to be out in the clear, which is key to being successful in the Derby. Because if you have a tough run in that first turn when they all come together,
right,
you're pretty much eliminated. Where if you're on the outside, you're in a really nice spot.
So you've got Outwork at 15 to 1, the number 15 spot as your favorite. The number 2 horse, you've got what?
I've Gunrunner. Even though the Louisiana Prep historically isn't great, I really love the way he's progressed. He's got sort of a nice ability to be close to the lead, but he doesn't need to be on the lead, so he's sort of he's tractable to where his jockey wants him to be. And the way I see the race in my head, which it never necessarily works out that way, is Outwork in front and Gunrunner sort of chasing him home, trying to pick him up late, but not necessarily getting there.
Gunrunner, so you've got 15, the 5. Your 3 horse is?
Creator, who won the Arkansas Derby. He should be rolling from late, from the back of the pack late. He's 10 to 1. And I think that just in terms of getting the distance of a mile and a quarter, he fits the bill perfectly. And I just think he's really coming into his own. But I do think those closers this year, because there's not a ton of speed up front, there's only the 3 horses that are definitely sort of headed to the front, the closers are going to struggle to actually pick him up and win.
The 4 horse, you've got?
Sudden Breaking News.
At 20
to 1. Who I mentioned as a long shot.
Yeah, and then you've got here a long shot as Destin, the number 9 horse.
Yeah, Destin's sort of flying under the radar because he hasn't run in 8 weeks. Most of the major prep races for the Derby are 4 weeks out,
mm-hmm.
between 3 and 5 weeks out. And Destin ran in the Tampa Bay Derby at Tampa Bay Downs.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran so well when he won. His owners and Todd Pletcher's trainer decided to wait for the Kentucky Derby instead of just running him again. So they figured, they just thought another race wasn't going to do him any good. But because he hasn't run 8 weeks, he's sort of fallen off the radar. And I really like him. He actually beat my pick, Outwork, last time. But I'm picking Outwork over Destin because Outwork has sort of needed that seasoning. It was only his third career start when Destin beat him. Mm-hmm. And now he's progressed in those 8 weeks enough where I think he'll turn the tables. But I don't think Destin's 15-1 on the morning line. And I put him on as my long shot because I think he's going to be closer to 22-25-1 when the gates are opened.
So how many bets are you making just for this race?
I'll probably have between 3 and 5, depending on how the day is going beforehand.
So what do you think, if I'm coming up from behind you and I just say, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about, I'm going to do exactly what you're doing, what are you putting down?
So I think I love having a win bet on your Derby pick. It's sort of, it's a simple bet. But I think that if you're right on your Derby bet, there's sort of nothing better.
Yeah.
It's the biggest race of the year, and there's 20 horses, and if you're able to pick the one out and be bold enough just to bet that horse to win, there's nothing quite like it. So I'll bet on Outwork, who will probably be 15-1. So if I have $10 to win on Outwork, that's about, that'll pay $150.
Yeah.
So I'll have a win bet on Outwork. And then what I want to do is try to hit maybe an exacta, so picking the first two.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'll do is I'll do probably a $2 exacta.
You box it?
And I'll box it. So I'll take my top three, Outwork, Gunrunner, and Creator, and I'll do a $2 exact box. So that'll be a $12 bet. And I just need any of those three to finish in the top two in any order. So that way, if Outwork doesn't win, but Gunrunner catches him on the wire, I'll still win. Or if Outwork, something goes amiss and the Steve Asmussen trainees, Gunrunner and Creator, run 1-2, I'll still hit it. And then lastly, I'll do a cheap trifecta, because trifectas can get very expensive, so yeah. That's the top three.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is I'll probably do a $1 trifecta box, or not box, I'll key Outwork on top, so he'll have to win, because that's the only way I can afford to keep it cheap.
Right.
And then I'll do Gunrunner, Creator, Sudden Breaking News, and Destin to finish second, third, and fourth, and then those second, third, and fourth.
And then drinks on you, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
but you said I was going to say so. You but of the entire card, and there's 14 races on Derby Day. There's one race that you like the most, right? The best bet of the day is in race 13. Is that right?
It's race 11. Okay. The race right before the Derby. There's a horse in there. His name is Divisadero. He's 15-1 on the morning line. He's number, pulling it up. He is number 8. So it's number 8 in the 11th race. And I think he's sort of, in a lot of ways, the key to my day before the Derby. So I think at 15-1, he's a great price. I'm not sure you'll get 15-1 on him. It could be closer to 10-12 by post time.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, he ran in the American Turf. This race, the Woodford Reserve Turf Classic, is for older males on the grass.
Right.
And last year he ran the American Turf, which was when he was a 3-year-old, which is just for 3-year-olds on the grass. And he came into that race running twice Florida. He ran pretty well in Florida, and then he came to Churchill and ran great. This year he's run twice in Florida, and he's run okay. And he's coming to Churchill again, I think, primed for a huge effort at a pretty big price.
He's a Kentucky horse, Edgar Prado, is going to be jockeying him. Are there any other races on Derby Day that you want to, that are going to be key to your day other than the 11 and the Derby?
I definitely think that there's a few. On Derby Day, I'm definitely going to focus sort of later in the card. The earlier races aren't as quality as the later races.
Yeah, I think once you get to the sixth race, that's when the big money purses, like $300,000 and $500,000 and $250,000 are start to creeping up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the main key on Derby Day in terms of betting is that you can't bet every race on Derby Day because there's so many races. You really just have to pick your spots, because even if you pick your spots, you can end up betting 8 different races, which would be like a normal day at the races. So, in the 10th race, I like number 10, Cocked and Loaded. He ran against Nyquist, 2 starts back and ran pretty well. Came back off a layoff into April, ran pretty well again, and this is his second start off a layoff, which horses typically run better in their second start. So they sort of get that rust off in their first start off a break, and then their second start they typically run better. And that horse is 6-1, which is a pretty good price.
Yeah, that's another Kentucky Thoroughbred in the Pat Day Mile. Anything else on Saturday?
I think those would be my keys on Saturday. It's a tough card. There's really nice horses running. I'll definitely enjoy the racing, but those are my main keys on Saturday. The 9th race is virtually impossible in terms of handicapping.
So you're saying stay off of the 9th race.
Yeah. In the 6th race, it's not a great betting race, but there's a horse in the 6th, number 1, named Teppan. She's 1-2 on the morning line, so she's a very short price favorite. But she's about as good of a horse in training in the United States right now as we have. She's an absolute superstar. She's won 6 in a row, and she's one to really enjoy. There's not a lot of money to be made in that race, but she's the best horse running on the card on either day at Churchill this weekend. She's tremendous.
Real quick, let's get through Kentucky Oaks, which of course is Friday.
Yeah, absolutely.
What, Rachel Valentina, that's what I'm hearing. Rachel's Valentina, Weep No More. What are you thinking on this?
I think Rachel Valentina is the horse to beat, but I think Nyquist is the horse to beat in the Derby also. And then I think in these wide open races, I always want to try to beat the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I think earlier you sort of mentioned the key to handicapping. I think the key is to try to beat the favorite if you can. And I really like number 3, Lewis Bay. I think she's coming into the race really well. She's 8-1. I think closer to 5-1 makes more sense. But I really like her. She's one that sort of my key in the Kentucky Oaks. And I like number 13, Landover Sea, would sort of be the other one. But I think Rachel Valentina is very logical and she is the one to beat.
So Rachel Valentina, if you're going to trifecta box it, Rachel Valentina, Lewis Bay, and Landover Sea, is that what you're thinking maybe?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Okay. Any other races that you really like on Friday other than the Oaks?
Yeah, there's one more that I'm pretty keen on. Race 9 is the Ali Sheba Stakes.
Uh-huh.
And I like a horse that's 10-1 there. His name is Top Billing. He's a 5-year-old now. At one point when he was 3, he was on the Derby trail, and things sort of went amiss there. It's taken him a long time to get back into his top level of competition, but he really seems to be rounding back into form. He's a come from behind horse, and there's a lot of speed in that race, so it should benefit him. And that's one on Oaks Day I really like.
And every horse in the Ali Sheba Stakes is a Kentucky or a Kentucky horse, which is that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, obviously, showcasing the Kentucky breeding program, there's no place better to do it than on Derby weekend. And it's really cool. I mean, even maybe there's a horse named Lonnie who's actually Japanese based. He's coming to the Derby via Japan and Dubai, and now he's in Kentucky, but even he was bred in Kentucky. So Kentucky has the best breeding program in the world, in my opinion, and it's tremendous that gets shown this weekend.
So Corbin, we've talked about handicapping, what horses you like. Is there anything that's under the radar that actually going to the Derby people don't necessarily know about, whether it's food or where to park or anything like that? Is there anything that you have a secret Kentucky Derby Day honey hole, so to speak?
I think that the main thing is if you're in the infield, you can leave the infield and go around the paddock where the horses are. I think a lot of people don't know that. There's more general admission area than just the infield itself. You can go around the paddock. You won't actually be able to go out onto the track apron and watch the race live, but you can actually go and be sort of more involved in the Derby sort of race itself than just being on the infield. Parking, it's sort of, I seem to park somewhere different every time I go.
I park in just people's front yards, and I've never had a problem with that.
Yeah, that seems to be that. It definitely, if you get there early enough and you get a good spot, you always need to make sure that you don't get sort of boxed in, that you can get out when you want to go.
Right.
They definitely try to pack as many people in those yards as possible. But that's definitely a good way to go. And I've done it where I've parked sort of in the Papa John's, the football stadium area. It's a little further away, but it's much easier to get out, and that seemed to work well. So if you don't mind the little walk, that's not a bad place to go either.
Just make sure you stay away from any illicit parties at Billy Minardi Hall if you get lost on campus.
I'll try.
Well, Corbin Bloomberg, cbhracing.blogspot.com. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's your Christmas Eve, and we certainly appreciate you being on Fort Thomas Matters Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute blast.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, you've got everything you need now to make your Derby picks, your Oaks picks. We're going to make you some money. We're not going to charge you anything for it. Just make sure you go to Omega Processing Solutions and tell them thank you, thank you, thank you for sponsoring Fort Thomas Matters Radio. They are on for a full year, 52 episodes. We do have some more episodes coming up of the Fort Thomas City Council candidates and incumbents, and make sure you check that out. You can find us on iTunes. Just search Fort Thomas Matters. That's F-O-R-T, FortThomasMatters.com. You can see our archives at FortThomasMatters.podbean.com, pod, P-O-D, podbean.com. Or you can just go to FortThomasMatters.com, click the podcast tab at the top right underneath the Omega Processing Solutions logo, and check us out there. Easiest way, though, is to just find us on the podcast app. Subscribe, please like and comment, and it'll be easier for other people to find us. So go out, make some money. Happy Derby Day. We'll talk to you soon. This is Mark Collier.